This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ryan Ellis, Tax Policy Director at Americans for Tax Reform here in Washington. He and his organization have taken a look very closely at the House bill prescribing national health care reform, H.R. 3200 as it's known, and is the bill that's driving a lot of these town hall protests around the country. Right now, Ryan is looking at components of the bill that could affect your tax bill. He says the president's promise that those making less than $250,000 a year won't see a tax increase to pay for this health care reform simply isn't true. And Ryan, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be on.
You have released a press release earlier this week looking at just four different tax hikes in this bill that affect not only the richest, but actually people who have a hard time making ends meet, correct?
That's right. There's four specific tax increases that are in this bill that are pretty clear and direct violations of President Obama's promise that he made again and again and again, that he would never, ever, ever raise taxes on families making less than $250,000 a year. And it happens, it turns out, four times in the House bill alone.
And let's go through these one at a time, and I'll have you help us cut through the jargon, too. Number one, restrictions on tax-deductible purchases of over-the-counter drugs with health spending accounts like FSAs and HSAs.
Right. Let's say that you're at work and you have a flexible spending account. You have something that maybe $5 or $10 a month goes into a debit card that you have, and it's one of these use it or lose it plans. Or let's say that you have a health savings account where you have a high deductible plan and then almost an IRA type account where you can put money in. Under current law, you can use that money to buy over-the-counter medicines, things like aspirin or anything you buy that you don't need a prescription for when you go to CVS or any other store. And so you can use those accounts, those tax-deductible, tax-free accounts, to purchase over-the-counter medicines. One of the provisions that's in this bill, you would be prohibited from being able to use your flexible spending account or your health reimbursement arrangement account or your health savings account in order to purchase any over-the-counter medicines. So those would go from pre-tax purchases to after-tax purchases. You wouldn't get any tax benefit, and it doesn't matter how much money you make.
And how much of a difference could this make in terms of take-home pay and so forth?
Well, it really depends what people are spending the money on. If someone is, let's say, using $100 a year to purchase various aspirins and pain relievers and things that they don't need a prescription for, they're probably getting a tax benefit now of probably about $25 or $30 a year. And so this is a small tax increase on most people, but you figure $25, $30 a year, it's an inconvenience, it's a hassle. That's going to be most regressive on people that are going to need this the most. Let's say that you've got families or a single mother with a few kids. Kids require things like cough medicine all the time, aspirin all the time. There's always lots of little sniffles going around if you're hanging around kids and schools and things like that. This isn't a huge tax increase for people that are making more than $250,000 a year, where $50 or $100 a year of a tax hike might be a big deal. But it's a much bigger deal for somebody who's maybe only making $15,000 or $20,000 a year with maybe a couple of kids to support.
Now, the next couple of items on this list, Ryan, deal with the word mandatory. It hasn't been talked about a lot, but basically you have to have coverage of one sort or another and ultimately the public option if this plan goes through. First of all, let's talk about taxes on individuals who don't voluntarily enroll themselves under some sort of coverage.
This is the big one. This is the one that will most adversely affect people making less than $250,000 a year. What the House bill has, H.R. 3200, is there's a mandate. You must, under law, purchase a health insurance plan. You must be enrolled in health insurance. If you voluntarily choose not to be enrolled in health insurance, you're going to pay a tax. You're going to pay this penalty tax to the government. And this penalty tax is going to be roughly equal to 2.5% of your income. So if you're somebody who's making $50,000 a year, 2.5% of your income is going to be $1,250 a year. That's a pretty large, sizable tax on people. And by the example I gave, you could use any number of others. It's going to affect people making less than $250,000 a year who simply decide that they don't want or need health insurance.
And on the flip side, it's not just individuals that will be facing this hike, but businesses that don't offer it to their employees as well, correct?
Right. That's the other mandate. There's not only an individual mandate, but there's also an employer mandate. So a business that has, it's not all businesses, it's businesses with payrolls that exceed $500,000 a year. Those businesses that choose not to offer health insurance to their employees, maybe the employees don't want it, maybe the business doesn't want to pay it for whatever reason, is going to have to pay an 8% payroll tax. Now, this might not sound like it's something that affects individuals making less than $250,000 a year, but it does. Here's why. Small businesses pay their taxes not on the business's tax return. they actually pay it on their individual 1040s. So if you're a sole proprietor that owns a business, or you have a partnership with somebody else, or you have an S corporation, unincorporated small businesses, the profits from those small businesses are paid on the individual's household level. Now, what this provision says is that you have to pay this payroll tax if you're a business that's of a certain size if you're not covering health insurance. It doesn't say anything at all about the profitability of the business. So you could very easily have a situation where you have a business that has 7 or 8 employees but makes virtually no profits. Those profits flow through to the individual business owner who has very little income as a result, but he's going to be stuck paying this 8% payroll tax. So this is going to affect businesses that have very, very low profit margins, and by definition, that will also affect their business owners, those making less than $250,000 a year.
Well, you're clearly looking at tens of thousands of dollars if you don't just toe the line there. And the last one you focus on, at least for right now, Ryan, is the IRS giving itself a lot of latitude through this bill to basically decide it doesn't care about the tax deductions you can rightfully claim.
Yeah, this is always the funny one. This is what I call the magic asterisk plan. It's what's called the economic substance doctrine. It's something that bean counters and people that want to have the IRS have a little too much power have been pushing for years. This thing's been around probably since the late 80s, longer than I've been working on tax policy. What it says is that the IRS would have the power under this provision to disallow any legitimate tax deduction or other tax planning maneuver that you take, even if it's perfectly legal. The only justification that they need in order to overturn this deduction that you've taken is to say that, well, you did that merely to lower your tax bill. You didn't do that for any economically substantive reason. It's not if taxes weren't a consideration, you wouldn't have done that. So what it takes is very legitimate, you know, perfectly sound tax deductions and credits and ways that you're trying to legally lower your tax bill. And it empowers the IRS to come in and say, well, we really don't think you did that for any reason other than to lower your tax bill. So even though it's legal, we're not going to let you do it. This fourth provision also doesn't have an income relator to it at all. So if you're somebody who makes $50,000 a year and you take a perfectly legal tax deduction that the IRS just doesn't like, they can take away that tax deduction, increase your taxes, and you've just had a tax increase even though you make less than $250,000 a year.
Well, Ryan, another way that others have said all of this will be paid for, at least a big chunk of it anyway, is through the carbon tax, which is contained within the cap and trade bill, carbon tax on energy producers, which would be passed along most likely to consumers. What impact would that have?
If you look at the president's budget, he has a series of tax increases on energy. The biggest one is this new carbon tax, which they call cap and trade, but it's a tax on energy consumption. And that is the most regressive tax that's been proposed. It would essentially be a flat percentage rate increase in everybody's electric bill, anybody that uses energy. And as you can imagine, that's going to hit the poor and middle class the hardest because they're paying a much bigger percentage of their income toward energy consumption. So when you try to tax energy and you try to fill these people that are from, you know, big cities and Washington and New York, and they feel good about themselves, they're making $300,000 or $400,000 a year, let's increase taxes on energy. It'll only cost maybe another $500 a year for every household. That's not really that big of a deal. Well, it's not a big deal if you're living on the Upper West Side or you're living in Georgetown and you're making $300,000 or $400,000 a year. But another $500 a year makes a big difference to a family that's making $30,000 or $40,000 a year out there in red state America somewhere. These people just don't have any consideration for that.
Ryan, a lot of different tax implications as a result of both of these pieces of legislation. For more information, folks can head to ATR.org and learn more about what we've already talked about here, as well as other components about the president's agenda on health care, energy, and more. Ryan, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Ryan Ellis is Tax Policy Director at Americans for Tax Reform. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.